will now introduce the first of this week's six letters.
Two Evening News readers were shocked at the PCC's decision to cut funding to the Norfolk Community Law Service. Richard Barr wrote in from Bacton. Shame of grant decision. Shame on Sarah Taylor, Norfolk Police Commissioner, for withdrawing a £35,000 grant to the Norfolk Community Law Service, citing costs associated with reorganisation of local councils. With all due respect to Ms Taylor, access to justice is an essential part of our democracy. Its funding, via legal aid and other advice schemes, has been systematically cut back by successive governments, so that those with limited finances now find it very difficult to obtain legal support when faced with crises such as domestic abuse. It's left to excellent organisations such as the NCLS to fill the void left by the government failures. By any standards, their work is far more valuable to the community than money spent on local government reorganisation.
Marcus Moore in Sprowston agreed completely. With reference to Richard Barr, shame of grant decision, in this newspaper, March the 2nd, shame on Sarah Taylor, the Norfolk Police and Crime Commissioner, for withdrawing a £35,000 grant to Norfolk Community Law Services. I am in complete agreement with Richard Barr's points. I am absolutely outraged. This will have serious implications.
Many other topics appeared in this week's letter pages. Steve Mackinder of Denver was shocked to find plastic replacing wood in the Norfolk Broads. Rethink on plastic use. Are we really intending to use plastic as construction material on the Broads in preference to traditional wood? Well, I've no doubt some might be able to dream up plausible reasons why using recycled plastic planks, etc., might be a sensible, ecologically sound proposition. But aren't we all being told of the huge problem building up from degraded plastic microparticles in everything we eat, drink and breathe? Wood is not good enough anymore, as it carries preservatives, they claim, but I think I'd rather see them use sustainable, untreated timber and repair a bit of rot once in a while, rather than introducing more plastic. Bad idea, Broads Authority. There's still time for a rethink.
Another regular correspondent, Denise Carlo, was very impressed by the project to restore the winter gardens in Great Yarmouth. Prompted by the recent update on the restoration of Great Yarmouth Winter Gardens, I went to view the glass house shrouded in scaffolding and read the information boards. It is a magnificent project. As well as conserving the ironwork and reopening a valuable indoor public space, the scheme plans to use modern technology such as air source heat pumps. The appearance of the wider area would be lifted by creating a green lawn setting to an exuberant Royal Assembly Rooms across the road in place of its ugly tarmac car park. Let's hope that reclaiming the winter gardens will be a further catalyst for renewing the many run-down, vacant historic buildings in the nearby conservation areas of Hall Quay and South Quay, and of King Street. Sadly, King Street, an important medieval thoroughfare, is on Historic England's Heritage at Risk register. Great Yarmouth Preservation Trust has done a sterling job of safeguarding and finding new uses for several of the buildings, but quite a few remain empty or only partially occupied and in poor condition. Designation of its northern end as part of the High Street Heritage Action Zone has given it more of a fighting chance. In recent years, Great Yarmouth has succeeded in breathing new life into its unique heritage. The Venetian Waterways, Tide and Time Museum, the Hippodrome, St George's Theatre, and now the Winter Gardens. Conserving the wealth of historic buildings along the whole length of King Street and South Quay and the narrow roads connecting them would enable many more people to live, work and shop there and bring in more visitors. My interesting circuit, starting from the railway station, was marred by the dismal, characterless walk between the fine Vauxhall Bridge and Market Place and back along the polluted, decrepit North Quay with fast-moving traffic.
R.N. Ambrose of Harleston was not impressed by the location of the Community Diagnostic Centre at the Norwich and Norfolk Hospital. We're encouraged to use our bus passes, which we do and appreciate, both in our 80s and thankfully independent. A few weeks ago, my husband had an appointment at the NNUH Community Diagnostic Centre. A map was enclosed saying the centre was a short 15-minute walk from where the bus drops you off in front of the main hospital. It was a very cold, wet and windy day. We didn't find a short walk, neither was it very well signposted. The centre was the furthest away from other blocks. The centre was very nice, pleasant and warm, which we were very glad of. The majority of patients we saw were not young people. We wondered if their experience was the same as ours. We left the centre at 4 o'clock, not being afraid of the dark. We were happy to get back on the bus. Yes, there's a multi-storey car park nearby, but not a lot of use when using the buses.
Our last letter is from Jonathan Pearson of Norwich, who has just read a book about the Norwich Cathedral Close. He is very impressed. I have just completed my reading of Michael Ball's and Donald Strawn's beautiful and interesting book published in late December 2025, A Town of Itself, Life in Norwich Cathedral Close. I can thoroughly recommend it to anyone with an interest in social history in Norwich and to those who love cathedral buildings, their rich heritage and their elegant surrounds. The book's title is both intriguing and apt. As someone who was a pupil at Norwich School for 9 years and then has worked at the school for nearly as long, that equates to having spent around a third of my life in and around Cathedral Close in Norwich on a near daily basis. As with Michael, this place has left an indelible mark on me and continues to provide such pleasure and purpose to my life. It really is a place set apart, and yet I was fascinated to read how self-sufficient it once had been, almost a thriving conurbation within the heart of the city. With its tall, imposing surrounding walls, Norwich Cathedral Close is open to pupils, visitors, businesses, worshippers, musicians, and pilgrims, and yet paradoxically still seems set apart from city life. I was very interested in the concise history of the school, with the authors picking out all the salient points over its long and complex history for over 930 years, inextricably entwined with life in the cathedral and the close.